Right. That's not my expertise, but it certainly, as you can tell from the room here, it's gotten a lot different than it was 20 years ago.
What's the evaluation of Davante Adams after the season? How do you see his role?
We thought he played well. He had a little bit more production down the stretch and later on in the at the end of the season. So we like him like we do all of our guys.
Last year's wide receiver class was so good. Kevin Colbert called it unique. Can you talk about this year's crop of receivers?
No, other than to say I can't really critique these guys all that much. I'm not supposed to say negative things about this draft or positive things. I don't know. But there's players every year, you know, this time of year, especially when we first get here, you know, one day the receivers are not going to be any good. The next day the receivers are going to be great. When they get to work out or before the workout, they'll say they're all going to be slow, and then all of a sudden you work them out and you run the 40s and they're all fast. So I think we're way too early to tell.
Why are you so worse?
I think it's talking too much. I talk to the press too much.
Thompson, with the release of Brandon Boston, what does this mean for Richard Rodgers moving forward? He seemed like he came more.
Yeah, Richard had it was one of those guys that had some production going, especially going down the stretch, and we're looking forward to his added contributions.
Ted, in what ways does Ron Wolf still have an effect on how teams are run?
Well, he has an effect on how this team is run, because that's where I learned most of this craft. And when I screw up, he doesn't think I learned anything. But he means a lot to us. He still means a lot to the Packers. We have his son, Elliot, working for us, obviously. But I know it was a thrill for him to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's very much a historian. And he cares about the history of the game and that sort of thing. So in that respect, I think it's a well-done honor. In terms of what he's done, you can see not only in Green Bay but around the league, his influence in the way organizations are put together, and I think that's a testimony to him.
Ted, what is the best indicator of quarterback as the hit factor?
Well, you know, I think it probably there's different it factors for different players. You know, there's all kinds of different personalities of quarterbacks around the league, but there's a lot of good ones, and they don't necessarily think and act alike. But I do think that there are moments during games, even on the collegiate level, where you can see that this guy's something different, that someone sees things differently. They see things a little bit quicker. They're a little bit more cognizant of what's going on. I think it's something like that.
Do you recall what you saw if there was anything you saw in Rodgers that was different, that was not measurable when you interacted?
Well, yeah, the game that I keep bringing up is Cal was playing USC, and this is after the fact that, you know, everybody thought these guys were going to go high, and we started doing some extra work on it, and I kept going back to the USC game, and he was so effective and so productive in that game. I think that was a moment for me, but his collective body of work, we felt like, was certainly sufficient.
Ted, you guys found a pretty good running back on day two of the draft a couple years ago. No running back has gone in the first round the last 2 years. Why do you think that is? Is it how teams use the talent of the guys? How likely is that to change this year?
The question basically is running backs and why they don't go in the first round anymore. Is that basically what it is? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's it's just the way it goes, you know. I think I think whether it's this year or 2 years from now or something, there'll be a year where there's five of them go in the first round. It's just cyclical and interesting, but it probably doesn't mean anything philosophically. I don't think teams are less inclined to take running backs now than they were 5 years ago.
Will re-signing Rachel not be a priority?
We would like to re-sign all of our free agent players, so sure.
When you use a franchise tag in the past, how much did you factor in the player's reaction and if you would show up or not show up to off-season workouts or anything like that?
Not very much.
When we talk about quarterbacks and college players, when we talk about a college scheme versus a pro scheme, and are those oversimplifications? Are those like outdated terms?
Maybe. As much as I'd like to think I'm an expert in quarterbacks, I'm probably not. I think, you know, college quarterbacks are put in positions where they have to do a lot of the things that are done on the professional level. The collegiate quarterback probably does, on average, a little more running than a pro quarterback. But outside of that, I think they're faced with some of the same difficult decisions and choices. You had a question.
Thank you. Pastor, I believe Washington's new general manager, Scott McLuhan, spent some, you know, significant years of his development with you. I'm just wondering, could you comment on how you think he benefited or what you think he might bring to Washington?
Yeah, the question was about Scott McLuhan, the new general manager at Washington. Yes, we worked together. We're very good friends, still are to this day. He's very good at his craft. He's very passionate about the work. He's a joy to work with, and he's always been a really good friend.
Ted, last year you carried over about $10 million in salary cap space. You're going to carry about the same number this year. What's the rationale? Because I think somebody could argue $10 million in talent could have been the difference between making the Super Bowl or not.
Yeah, we don't necessarily look at it like that. We feel like we understand what the cap means. It doesn't mean we're going to roll over money every year. It doesn't mean we're going to go all the spend everything up to the last penny. We're going to run our business the way we think it should be run. And we'd like to get ourselves in a position so that, and I've said this before, that we make football decisions and we don't really even make any economic decisions. They're all football decisions.
What was your involvement in Coach McCarthy's decision to relinquish his play calling duties and your reaction?
Most of that was his own thinking and stuff like that. We had conversations and I was aware of what he was thinking and that sort of thing.
He told us that you were surprised when he came to you.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Well, but Mike does a lot of thinking, and he examines everything. Even to the fine-tuned point of what he presents to the team, what he's going to say to them on Thursday, or what he's going to say to them on Friday. He thinks all that through, and he's thinking in a macro sense right now. In terms of how he best to use his time, where he would like to interject a little bit more of his own attitude into different parts of the team. And I think that's probably the main thing, is I think he wants to spread himself out a little bit more.
You've been coming to the combine for so many years. Is there a player that maybe you've drafted that stood out in the interview process that really made himself one of your players based on?
You know what? I apologize. I'm sure there are that I should be able to go, yeah, back in 20 years ago I did this, and the guy smirked at me and I knew he was going to be a good player. I don't remember those instances, but I think all this is important. All this can be helpful. I think you're always looking for a little bit of a sparkle in somebody's eye, a little twinkle that maybe you don't see out of everybody else. And that's difficult to do sometimes during the interview process, because these guys are going from 6 o'clock at night till 11 o'clock at night, one after the other, trying to do interviews and impress teams. That's not that easy to do.
This process is so advanced that you feel like players are almost too well coached and give you...
They are well coached, but if they're well coached, then they're coachable. So that's a good thing. If they can pull the wool over your eye, then so be it. But we're not trying to, you know, say that we're soothsayers or can look inside somebody's mind. It's more like, you know, I like to try to figure out if we can in 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever the time limits are, you know, if this guy's a good fit for your team.
Ted, what do you think of Dominican Sue as a player, and how would you react if he was to leave the division?
Well, I think he's a property of another team, and I'm prohibited by rule of discussing that. I should give that answer more often.
In your experience, the Packers are very good. They're kind of considered one of the models for building a team that competes every year, whether it's their draft, free agency, their power structure. What is the key to having everybody in your front office pulling in the same direction, whether it's the coaches, the cap guys, the scouts? Why does it work so well in Green Bay?
Well, the question was the organization of the Packers and the success we've had, why does it work? Is there some secret? I think a lot of it goes back to, and somebody asked me the question about Ron earlier, the legacy of Ron Wolf. He set the organization up when he was hired in 1992 a certain way so that football decisions would be made by football people that – whether it be the facilities, whether it be the money, whether it be any of that other sort of thing, it would be a football decision based on what's best for the football team. I think that turned the organization around. It put the organization in a better light. All of a sudden, players from around the league could see that, you know, the Packers put their money where their mouth is, we were able to do some things in the free agency and that sort of thing to move it forward. And we've been fortunate enough to have some really good players. But I think it goes back to the Ron Wolf era.
Does having that clearly established hierarchy of your front office model, is that important?
It is for us. It's not mandatory because it's not that way in a lot of places. But it works for us.